our body right now, it would activate those genes to immortality, to optimal healing. We could refer to it as self-healing, but it really isn't. It's taking advantage of the gift of God that he has given to us so that the body can be ultimately healthy. And so we cannot be truly healthy. We cannot achieve true healing unless we actually accept the gifts from God. But that's how God created us. And so it's an amazing topic that could, you know, just the notes I have right here is probably worth 3 or 4 hours. So I'm going to have to try to rush through some of these. But just in January, researchers at the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor, Dr. Breda Roy, a physician and researcher, was looking at the MESA study. This is the multi-ethnicity study for atherosclerosis. They were looking at many different ethnicities and what are the actual risk factors that lead to hardening of arteries, atherosclerosis, heart disease. And in this study, they were able to show that those individuals who, there was over 6,800 individuals in this study, who actually had taken a special test to see whether they had a tendency towards optimism or pessimism. Have you ever talked with a friend or maybe a family member about your attitude? Or has anybody ever talked to you about your attitude? I've had that talking to from time to time as I was growing up, and it wasn't real pleasant. We don't like to be challenged as to our attitude. What's one of our common answers when somebody questions our attitude? Can't you just accept me the way I am, right? This is just part of my personality. Come on, just accept me the way I am. Well, more on that in a little bit. So they actually looked at the relationship of this attitude, because that's really what it is, okay? Optimism and pessimism is an attitude. Now, it's an attitude that we don't often think that we're choosing, but in fact, we are choosing it, and of course, it's being influenced by many factors that we'll get into. As they looked at the correlations between this attitude and factors that clearly drive heart disease risk, also cancer risk, other type of diseases as well, but looking at specific markers in the body. So when you go to your doctor and you're wanting to learn, you know, how am I doing? Just how we feel isn't a good indicator, right? Because that's why we have all these silent killers out there. Hypertension, a silent killer. Diabetes, a silent killer. Heart disease, a silent... Because we don't feel it. We don't know that the cholesterol's high or the blood pressure's high or the blood sugar's high most of the time. So as we look at these tests, and specifically, the researchers were looking at tests like interleukin-6. This is a measure of inflammation in the body. And inflammation is a major driver. It literally turns on the genes that lead to disease, and it turns off the genes that are there available to us to promote healing. So those individuals who were optimistic in general had an improvement, had actually a calming effect in this interleukin-6 expression of that gene. So inflammation dropped. Fibrinogen, which is a measure of blood clotting tendency. If you have high levels of fibrinogen in your blood, you're more likely to get a clot and have a heart attack or a stroke. That level went down as well in individuals who are optimistic. The blood test homocysteine, which I measure in most patients, is a independent predictor of heart disease, also Alzheimer's, osteoporosis, many different seemingly unrelated things, because it's an irritating amino acid in the blood. If elevated, it causes problems. That also was statistically significantly down in these optimistic people. But the researchers found something that we have been seeing in the literature more and more. As they looked at the individuals who were pessimistic, that was a much stronger predictor of health problems than optimism was in predicting a decrease in health problems. They found that those who were pessimistic were much more likely to have elevated levels of cardiac CRP. This is a main measure of inflammation. Again, I've been checking that in every patient for probably 7 years now as an indicator of heart disease risk, of diabetes risk, metabolic syndrome, etc. And all the fibrinogen and the homocysteine, all these levels were significantly elevated in those individuals who had a pessimistic perspective on life. Now, researchers have been showing now for quite a while that the key to health, if we want to look at the priorities, okay, it's certainly good to be optimistic, but at all costs, avoid negative thinking. Avoid a pessimistic attitude, because that's what really affects the body adversely. So how do we define optimism? It's been referred to as the faith that leads to achievement. Do you like that? That's a great definition. It reminds me of C.S. Lewis's definition of faith, which is the art of holding on to what we once knew to be true in spite of changing moods and circumstances. So we have to be able to hold on to what we know to be true. That's what faith is. And so optimism is the faith that actually allows us to move, enables us to move forward and achieve things in our lives, to do good. I was just working with a medical student who was shadowing me at the clinic in Temecula. And she had just graduated the Sunday before. This was just in the last a week and a half. And so I was able to introduce her as doctor, you know, to my patients. And she was, I'm sorry, I totally forgot where I was going with that one. It'll come back to me. I know it will come back to me. I'm positive that thought will come back to me. At any rate, this whole issue of faith is critical. And I have a great quote for you, Mike. This one, I thought of you when I saw this one. It says, a pessimist, or an optimist rather, will tell you that a glass is half full. A pessimist will tell you that a glass is half empty. An engineer or an architect will tell you that the glass is twice as big as it needs to be. Okay. Aren't we blessed to have Mike here and do all these wonderful things to our sanctuary? So thank you, Mike, for your contribution. I knew you'd like that one. So what do we do with this whole aspect of negative thinking, of pessimism? How is it affecting us, and what can we actually do about it? Negative thinking is essentially a form of hostility. Have you ever thought of that way? Okay, that's medically, scientifically, and emotionally speaking, negative thinking is a hostility that we are imposing on ourselves. Okay, it's a risk factor. It's a danger to ourselves. And anything that is a danger to ourselves is actually increasing the danger to everybody who comes in contact with us. We are creating within us what we call a free radical, damaging, toxic, poisonous experience. That is, as long as it stays as just an attitude, is mainly affecting us, but any attitude is always going to affect everybody who comes in contact with us. When there is a free radical, an oxidative stressor chemically in our body, anything that free radical chemical bumps into, whether it's a heart cell or a nerve cell or a red blood cell in our body, it's going to cause oxidative stress. It's going to literally damage. It's like a terrorist wearing a bomb around its body that's blowing up things along its way. And that's what negative attitudes create within our bodies. such that as we look at hostility, medically speaking, that's inflammation, right? So you just heard about studies where our attitude affects inflammation chemically in the body. And inflammation is synonymous with hostility, physiologically speaking. Hostility can be defined in three different ways, or there's three aspects of hostility. We have aggression, which we all know intuitively. That's hostile. Somebody makes a move towards you or is angry or pushes you or harms you in some way physically. That's aggression. Some being yelled at is aggression, okay? But then we have the emotion of hostility, which is just anger, something that you can try to keep within you, but it usually shows all over your body. And then we have the attitude of hostility, which is a mistrusting attitude. I wish we had more time to get into that. That's really important. Because many times we think that we are the peacemakers, we think that we are trying to bring everybody together, but in doing so, in our minds, we have a mistrusting attitude, and that in itself is creating negative consequences physiologically, emotionally, and spiritually everywhere we are. So it's important for us to understand that as brothers and sisters in a faith community, because how we come across has a huge influence on how others perceive us and how their walk will be in the future as well. There was an interesting study. How much time do I have?
4 hours.
Okay, that sounds more like it. So you're just going to have to stop me when it's time, okay? Because I... Mike, he left. He was like, "It's like I can't handle this stuff." there was an interesting study that looks at this question of inflammation that was presented just this past December 2009 here in San Diego. A very large group of physicians that were members of the American Society of Nephrology. This is a group of kidney specialists from all over the country and the world gathered together in San Diego to look at new strategies on how they could help their patients with chronic kidney disease or other forms of kidney problems. And the most interesting study that hit the national wire, so to speak, from this conference was a study conducted by a physician from Vanderbilt University, Dr. Valencia Khan, and she was working with a group out of Tokyo, who wanted to see the influence of a specific natural substance on inflammatory chronic kidney disease. And sure, this is a fascinating study, because what they did is they took mice who had been genetically engineered to develop heart disease. Have you ever thought that you were just kind of born with a bad attitude? Okay, that you were just kind of born with, you know, kind of grouchy predisposition? Have you ever thought that you were born with a predisposition for heart disease or cancer? Frequently, all too frequently, the answer to those questions is yes. That's how we were born. We were born with all kinds of genetic predispositions. That you could argue that because of the effects of sin over the last 6,000 years, we've all been genetically engineered specifically to sin. We've all been genetically engineered to have all kinds of health complications. So what do we do with that information? That's just the way it is, and accept it, and, you know, God understands, and we just do what we do because that's the way we are. Or can we seek for answers that God is actually genetically engineered within us originally that try to alter and adapt and overshadow those new genetic directions that have been ingrained in us. Do we have choices here? And so the study was fascinating. They actually took these genetically engineered mice that were very predisposed now to heart disease, and they gave them a adriamycin. This is a very toxic chemotherapeutic agent that is really hard in the heart. Really hard. And various people are on this medication because of various inflammatory disorders, etc., or cancer. And so the risk, of course, is that they develop heart disease very easily. Then they removed one kidney from these mice. Boy, talk about being set up. And then 2 weeks into this toxic therapy, they started feeding these mice powdered activated charcoal. Did you hear that, Mike? Powdered activated charcoal. Now, this is not barbecue charcoal. Okay, just a lot of people think that's what I'm talking about when I talk about charcoal. This is medicinal charcoal. As you burn hard wood in a low oxygen environment, you get this charcoal crust to that wood. The most purified form of that charcoal has tremendous medicinal benefits. If you read Ellen White, and we have such an amazing health message, I'm going to read a quote from her in a little bit. You see that she frequently talks about the benefits of charcoal. Frequently. She took it everywhere she went and shared it with her friends and coworkers who were in pain, who had inflammatory conditions, who had this digestive distress, who had arthritis and so forth. And so if you read her writings carefully, you see multiple mentions of this. And so what's interesting about this study, though, is that when these animals, these little mice that were genetically bred to develop heart disease, had a kidney removed, and now were given a toxic drug on top of that, if they were given charcoal with their Purina Mouse Chow food, that's what it was, they did not develop heart disease. They had three strikes against them, but the presence of this charcoal in their diet, in their lifestyle, negated all three of those major strikes that were against it. See, we all have strikes against us. We are all correct in saying that we have strikes against us. But we have tremendous blessings and gifts available to us if we just accept them. Okay, and that's a whole other topic that we could get into, and the blessings of God and the health message that God has given to us, and just the blessing of knowing that we are forgiven is the most tremendous anti-inflammatory medicine you could ever. So really, forgiveness. Forgiveness and the willingness in our heart to forgive others for those things that they have done against us, irrespective of whether they are sorry for what they've done to us. If we are willing to forgive, what happens is that's like taking charcoal when exposed to toxins and genetically predisposed problems with heart disease. It removes that inflammation that drives disease within us. It's so, so powerful. And really, these are so simple. We can choose to take charcoal. We can choose to relieve the pain within 20 minutes. Yeah, there's intestinal flus going all around. We had many patients come through our clinic this past week with fairly severe acute intestinal flu. All they need to do is take some charcoal. There's nothing better. You could spend thousands of dollars on all kinds of medicines. There's nothing better than taking just a heaping teaspoon of activated powdered charcoal in cold water, drink it up. 20 minutes later, you'll feel amazingly different, okay? Because you're removing the inflammatory qualities of things that bring us down. What's that? You do? Okay, good for you. There is so much that can be accomplished if we make the right decisions. It was Henry Ford who said, "Whether you think you can, or you think you can't, you're right." Okay? And so our attitude has a huge influence on this. A quick side note that's recent in the news. How many hockey fans do we have in the audience? There's got to be at least one or two. Okay, all right, Pam, I like that. Okay, a few hockey fans here. Well, I grew up 90 miles from Chicago in Bering Springs, Michigan. And I remember on a regular basis hearing that theme song of the Blackhawks, the mighty Blackhawks from Chicago. And they struggled for nearly half a century to try to get into the playoffs and win that big one, the Stanley Cup. And about 6 weeks ago, I received an email from Dr. Cannell. He's a psychiatrist who I became aware of more recently because he had been paying attention to the latest medical research and had started giving his psychiatric patients vitamin D. And that winter, the flu ravaged that entire psychiatric hospital, and everybody essentially got the flu, except nobody that was in his ward got the flu, because they were on 5,000 units of vitamin D every day. He wrote this up in a medical journal, then became the founding president of the Vitamin D Council. You can get it at vitamindcouncil.org. He's an amazing physician, and the passion that he's had to help people find simple remedies to health challenges. Well, about 18 months ago, the physician of the Blackhawks in Chicago caught wind of this new information about vitamin D. And he started testing every single one of the players on the Blackhawks for vitamin D and discovered that essentially all of them were deficient. No wonder, they're playing indoors. You know, they hardly ever get outside. And the physician was particularly interested in this because he recognized from the medical literature that vitamin D has a huge influence in activating over 2,000 different genes. Not only the genes to boost immunity, but anytime you boost immunity, you also boost the ability to withstand stress. Your perceptions change. Your attitudes begin to change because you feel a lot better. And so that's why there's this interrelationship between everything that we do and the mind. Everything that we do and our spiritual predispositions. You can't separate these things. Science has tried to separate it. Religion is trying to separate it. One of the great benefits that we have as Seventh-day Adventist Christians is we have a worldview that is integrative. It understands the interrelationships between everything. Okay? And it's not a legalistic perspective. It's simply a perspective of reality, that everything that we do influences everything on the physical and emotional level, has a powerful influence on the spiritual, and vice versa. And so as he started supplementing these amazing athletes who are human just like the rest of us and susceptible to all kinds of emotional and physical challenges, they started getting stronger. They actually made it to the playoffs last year, and this year they won it all. Okay, now, all kinds of variables involved in that. But it's an interesting story, and the story broke. I was aware of this 6 weeks ago, and they were actually saying they are so much stronger emotionally and physically now that we think they're going to go all the way. And they were persevering. See, events like this aren't about necessarily who's the most gifted, who's the most athletic, but it has to do with the will to persevere. And so that's just another example of one little thing that we do. Ellen White has told us, and the Bible repeatedly refers to the healing properties of the sun and how that influences the mind and how that influences our ability to persevere. It's not those who can run the fastest, but those who finish the strongest. Isn't that true? Okay? And so as we are now in the last days of a historic great controversy lasting over 6,000 years, we have the opportunity to either keep going like we've always gone, or we can say, I'm going to choose to finish strong. And how I think about that, an optimism of knowing what is coming, of knowing that we are already on the winning side, of knowing that we have an opportunity not only to live eternally with Jesus Christ, but we have an opportunity to share that knowledge with others who right now don't understand the value. Don't understand the value of what it means to be saved, what it means to be truly forgiven, what it means to have that joy in our heart that can't, where we can't help but share that joy with other people. So it is my hope today that each of us chooses, regardless of our genetic predispositions, okay, to be happy, to be joyful, to recognize what Jesus has done for us. And let me just finish here, because I know my time is way over, I'm guessing. Okay, it takes some time to read Proverbs today. The tongue, Proverbs 18:21, the tongue has a power. Can anybody finish that? Of life and death. What we say to other people, what we say to ourselves, has the power of life or death. Our attitude, a cheerful look, just simply being thoughtful enough to have a cheerful look for somebody else. Maybe somebody that really kind of misses us normally. We just don't like being around them. We don't like their personality. We just don't like them. But if we were willing to invest ourselves in them and look at them today and say, how you doing today? I'm glad to see you. Okay, that simply that investment in them not only has the power to sustain them in sickness and increase their own naturally God-gifted healing potential because we enabled it, okay, but something else happens when we do that. We have now invested in that person. So now naturally we begin to like them more simply because we were nice to them. So that's an important. So a cheerful look brings joy to the heart, and good news gives health to the bones. That's what it's all about, right? It's the good news of Jesus Christ. How are we going to share that with others today? Now, let me just end with one quotation. The power of emotion from the Ministry of Healing. The relationship that exists between the mind and the body is very intimate. When one is affected, the other sympathizes. The conditions of the mind affects the health to a far greater degree than many realize. Many of the diseases from which men suffer are the result of mental depression. Many are the result of mental depression. Grief, anxiety, discontent, remorse, guilt, distrust, all tend to break down the life forces and to invite decay and death. Disease is sometimes produced and is often aggravated or often greatly aggravated by the imagination. Many are lifelong invalids who might be well if they only thought so. I think Henry Ford must have read Ellen White. What do you think? Many imagine that every slight exposure will cause illness, and the evil effect is produced because it is expected. Many die from disease, the cause of which is wholly imaginary. Okay, so that once again shows we need to be on the right side, recognize the great gift that God has given to us, and move forward in sharing that joy with other people.